Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15. I want to talk to you today as a pastor. I want to talk to some of you today as a dad. We'll talk to some of you as a brother. This has been on my heart all week on the pathway of life. You know, there's a lot of struggles on the pathway of life. We've all walked in pathways. It's been difficult. These times of so many insecurities in a nation, in a community, in a family, I'm thankful we have securities in the Word of God. I hope that you'll take a few notes and just let me talk to you a few minutes this morning as a pastor. Let me share what God has laid on my heart out of these scriptures. If you're willing and able, let's stand in honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. Brother Mike, I'm a little short-winded this morning for some reason. Some people be glad of that, but would you come and read? I want you to read 15. Start reading in verse number 3, or let's get down to number 11. Luke 15:11. I want you to read on down to 31. Would you please give him your attention this morning?
And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. As he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. He said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed a fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured the living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. I appreciate the reading of the Word of God in Luke 15. Many writers have said that This is one of the most profound passages in our Bible. Brother Adam, through many years of preaching, I have preached out of this passage several times, but it never grows old. Brother Tim, we sing page 57, Amazing Grace, but when we're done with it, we don't tear it out and throw it away, we sing it again. So there are many sermons that need to be preached over and over and over. Within this passage, we know him as the prodigal. He got on the wrong road. You'll notice in the reading when Brother Mike read, there was an elder brother that had never left home, but yet down in his heart, he was further away than ever been in his life. Even though he is around the Father's house, his heart was very removed from the Father's house. He found himself in a circumstance of anger and bitterness, jealousy. And he really felt like that the Father owed him more than what he was getting. You know, you may be here today and you've been around the Father's house a long time. You may be looking into your heart and say, well, God, I deserve more. But I'm going to tell you, by the grace of God, we are who we are and where we are this morning. And I'm thankful for what He's done for us in these days. You'll notice in this passage, in the pathway of the prodigal, first of all, within our text, there was a belonging. A belonging. In verse number 11, he said, a certain man had two sons. There's a lot of discrepancies within children, a lot of diversities in children. Some are loud, some are quiet, some are sad, some get mad. Some will tell you what they think, some will never tell you what they think. But I can tell you something, within the pages of this passage, there was a belonging. Here, before the prodigal left, he belonged to somebody. You know, as a pastor's heart, I look out and I see children that are wayward. I see families that are wayward. And we must never forget that they belong to somebody. This young man had a mother and he had a father. I don't care what this world's saying about gender specifics. There's man and woman. If you got in this world, you got here by a man and you was born of a woman. Somebody say amen. I'm not confused. Neither is the Bible confused. This man had a family at home. You know, I'm thankful for the environment that some of us have had. Some of you, you've had a very bad family environment. But I'm going to tell you, there's hope for all of us this morning at the cross of Calvary. You'll see here there was a belonging. Then in verse 11, there were great benefits. Could you imagine being raised around a daddy that knew God? The benefits that he had. You say, well, how do you know that the daddy knew God? Because he acted in biblical ways. When he got out on the wrong road, he got to realizing something that his daddy had put in him. I'll say in the background, no doubt the mother probably put in him. Raising goes a long way. And you parents, you may think that your children's not listening, but they're listening to many things that we wish they weren't listening to. And so this morning, you'll notice within this passage of Scripture, on this pathway of the prodigal, there was a belonging. There was great benefits. Could you imagine being raised in this environment with a father like received him when he came home? There's no doubt he's seen a daddy that would open up a Bible around the fireplace at home. No doubt he was around a family that would bow his head and give thanks for their food. There's no doubt that this young man was taught morals. He was taught the Christian way of life. And mom and daddies, it doesn't matter what this world is saying, this Bible is still right in this day, in this hour. So you see, there was a belonging. I'm thankful of the house that I was raised in, a mom and daddy that was so grateful to God, and they raised us in church. I was taught the difference between right and wrong. Not only must you teach your children what is right, you must teach your children what is wrong. I want to say that again. Not only do we teach our children what is right, but we explain to them what is wrong. So here this morning, we find this character, the prodigal. We find him belonging. We find him benefiting. And I want to pick up on something that Brother Randy taught on Wednesday night. It was a great message. I want to use this phrase that he challenged me with that I didn't know what he was talking about. He used the phrase YOLO. I'd never heard of that. I realize I live in a corn crib with blinders on. And But I didn't know what YOLO meant. But Brother Mike didn't either. He didn't raise his hand either. But YOLO simply means this: you only live once. That's the mentality of so many people. Well, you know, you only live once, go for it. You only live once. What about all these standards? Go and have fun. Get out in the world. Spread your wings. I've had families come to me before and say, "Well, preacher, we're leaving the church." I said, "Well, why are you leaving?" He said, "Well, we want to spread our wings." Well, be careful where them wings take you. So this morning there's the belonging. There were great benefits. But in verse 13, I really want to speak to your heart right here. I heard a sermon a few weeks ago out of verse 13. I just want to elaborate on it quickly. And not, let's see what he says. In verse 12, the younger of them said to his father, "Give me the portions of goods that falleth to me. I'm deserving. I want what is mine." And you know, I realize that. I get it. You know, but within the recesses of this man's heart, he's fixing to do something. Watch and be careful with this. So the father, he divided to them his living. Now look what he done. The younger of them said to his father, "Give me." I learned a very important principle in my life about this passage. And I heard Brother Dana Williams preach it years ago. And I hope you'll always remember it. Be careful what you ask for. Be careful. When we pray, we should pray like this: "Father, if it's your will for me in my life, would you allow this to happen? Because God, I don't know out yonder before the red light changes what's going to happen. I don't know what's around the curve. And God, I'm not smart enough to figure it out. I need you to help me. And Lord, if it's all right, would you allow this to happen for me? And if not..." I pray this way many, many times. I tell many pastors this. I love out preaching. I love preaching revivals and camp meetings. But Brother Dwayne, I pray this many times: God, open the doors that need to be opened, and please close the doors that need to be closed. This morning, be careful what you ask for. We see this belonging. We see this benefiting. But look at verse 3. Notice there were boundaries. He said this: "Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Notice these boundaries. A far country. I want to say today, first of all, about this text: he left and went to the far country. Mom and Daddy's listening to the preacher this morning. Keep it the far country at your house. Keep the far country the far country at our church. Keep the far country the far country. If your children leave, let it be hard for them to leave to go to the far country. You see, we're raising generations of children now. They have so many vices against them that I never had as a young child. Kids now, 9 years old, they have an iPhone. You'll be surprised what they're seeing on social media. They're seeing lesbians holding hands together, saying that this is the most wonderful thing. They see homosexuals living together, kissing man and man on the TV screen. And now we get desensitized to sin in our society. What we need to put our foot down about is we need to keep the far country a far country. And if our children do leave, if our loved ones do leave, it's been hard for them to go to the far country. TV's got so blatant. I was watching the Ryder Cup last night. I noticed they were advertising this new drug to keep you from getting AIDS. I tell you how to fix that: live according to the Bible. Amen. But you see, you'll notice within these boundaries, his father kept the far country the far country. And what you mom and daddies need to realize, you don't need to be cruel to your children and mean to your children. You just need to develop within them the culture of the Bible. Right is right and wrong is wrong and sin is still sin. And if they leave and go to the far country, they've had to take a big leap to get there. They just didn't ease out in the far country out of your house. That's good preaching. Shake your little Baptist head up and down this morning. Oh my, the boundaries. Now I want to say something about these boundaries. You know, the Ten Commandments in our nation, they've been taken down publicly in many places. Did you know God gave us those Ten Commandments to keep us safe and not to harm us? We all need boundaries in our life. There are boundaries that I've got in my life. I'm so scared to get close to that boundary because I'm out to trip and fall over that boundary. Boundaries are very important in your life. And so we see this pathway of the prodigal. We see his belongings. He's in a great environment. We see his benefits. He was so blessed. Now we see these boundaries. There's a far country. He knew about the far country. Does your children know about the far country? Do they realize the far country is the far country? Let me say it again. Do they realize the far country is the far country? These boundaries. Then notice this. He got what he prayed for. He got what he asked. The Father divided unto them his living. And I want to say this. Sometimes more is less, and sometimes less is a whole lot more. You see, more got him in trouble. I hear a lot of people saying, boy, I wish I could win the lottery. Well, you act crazy enough broke. Somebody say amen. I wish I could win the lottery. You know, sometimes, and I want you to think about this. This is out of my heart this morning. Sometimes more is less. And sometimes less is a whole lot more. Behavior. But then I noticed some things here that I'd never seen last night in verse 14. Not only these boundaries, this behavior, but if you would notice this bereavement. This man made a choice. Choices have consequences. Whatever I choose to do, I've got to be willing to face my consequences. Even in the business world, every time that I made a choice, I had to review the consequences. I tell many young pastors, this choice you're going to make at that church, you've got to think about the consequences of your choice. Mom and daddies, I think a lot of times we don't think about the consequences of our choice. So here is a bereavement. In verse 14, watch your Bible. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Look in verse 14. When he had spent all that. I wrote this down last night. I liked it. When he spent all, he thought he had enough. And before anybody ever leaves, they always feel like they've got enough. I had a man tell me one time, I don't need the church. I don't need preaching. I've got my family. I've got my business. And that's all I need. But I come to tell you, that ain't worked out real good for him this morning. Y'all look like you need some preaching back here. I'll bring you some back here this morning. You see, when you get to thinking in this passage of Scripture how the Lord laid it out to us, let me get it even. Let me bring some preaching to this side this morning. You see, when we really think about the text of this Word of God, he thought he had enough. I got all I need. He took it. Verse 14, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. Now look at verse 14. I noticed this and underlined it last night. Look at verse 14. It's loaded. Not only did he think that he had enough, but now look in verse 14, something else happens. And when he had spent all, it's not if, it's when. Some of y'all ain't got it. It's not if it's going to cost me everything. It's when it's going to cost me everything. Underline that. It's never if, but it's when. It's not if it's going to happen. It's when it's going to happen. Anytime you leave the Father's house, it's going to happen. That's a great nugget, isn't it? Somebody say good preaching this morning. Did all y'all get cold and leave off the hill? And I didn't see you leave. Somebody say amen this morning. So it's not if, it's when. And then, watch this in this bereavement. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. He began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Time out. Why is he hobnogging with them people? He left God's people. Now he's in the hog pen. That's where leaving the things of God will always take us in life. And it's no respecter, even to the pastor, to the one takes up money, to the one that wets down the lawn, honey. Sin is no respecter of person. Your sin will find you out. So he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And you know, this is what amazes me about people that joins themselves citizens of that country. They ask them ideas. They ask them information. People, God's people, they go to the world and get counseling. They won't come see a pastor filled with the Holy Ghost. They run out in the world and get advice. Well, what do we need to do? The Bible tells us what we need to do. I wonder what that citizen told him a lot of times. Boy, he fought that crowd. You know something, back before I got saved, I had things really upside down. I fished out of something that was worth a lot more than what I lived in. Lord, I know Dad get quiet with rednecks on Sunday morning. Me and Mr. Renee lived in a little old house trailer. And y'all, it was unbelievable. Now, it was great, but it's unbelievable what we lived in. Well, I went and bought a really nice boat. I loved to fish, but that wasn't enough. I had to get one of those new Jimmy Blazers to pull it with. How much was that payment, Renee? $465 a month. You remember that, don't you, baby? About 6 years. You won't preach a while this morning. $465 a month. And man, back then I was on the things of the world, and my phone just rung off the hook. Everybody wanted to go fishing with Ken Bowman. But one morning, 1981, something happened to me down Sandy Flat Baptist Church. An old man of God come to my house, that house trailer, on Saturday morning, told me about Jesus. God got the deal in my heart, and I got saved that next Sunday morning. Me and Renee went to the annual fish fry in about 2 weeks, and God had just saved me. And they called on me to pray and bless the food. And when they did, it come through me like thunder. I started testifying about what God, and they just started backing up from me. They was looking at me like, man, this guy's done something really bad. He ain't right in his mind. And I'm going to tell you what, God so changed my life. And when God changed my life, Brother Conrad, it's just like that phone was disconnected out of my house. And all them boys I've been taking everywhere, I mean running all my gas out of my boat and my truck, they left me high and dry. But I come to tell you, I had somebody that I've never had before in all of my life. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus moved in my heart and set up housekeeping down in my house. Watch you, friends. Can I say something about done preaching? I've got to say this to you as your pastor. Watch your friends. Social drinking leads to drunkenness. social dope smoking leads to an ounce a week. How well I know. I've wore that T-shirt. I know all about it. People say, well, there's no harm in all of that. I wonder if you ask Miss Regina this morning after service, is there any harm in drinking? What she would tell you, how it devastated her family. This morning, watch your friends. You don't need to have your children in an ungodly environment. Be putting something in your children. So we notice something. Something happens in this passage that does my heart good. We see this bereavement in verse 17. Look what it says. He came to himself. Look what it says. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, not only have they got enough, they got a lot more to spare. You know something? Whatever you have this morning may not seem like it's very much, but when you lose it all, it's going to be a whole lot. You may think, well, preacher, I have worked, and we've got very meager means. Well, let me tell you something. That's a whole lot when you lose it all. Today, this bereavement. I love his burden in verse 18. He came to himself. I wish I'm 60 years old. I was preaching the other week in the Carolinas. I mentioned something. I was 60. And a man come up to me after service. Man was with him, Brother Leon. He said, hey, preacher, how old do you think this preacher is? And I looked at him. And Brother Tim, I want to be real disrespectful, so I didn't say nothing. I said, sir, I don't know how old are you. He said, I'm 97. And he's just running around the camp meeting shed like he's about 35. Still pastoring a church at 97 years. You know what he said? I'm going to drive down to where y'all go to church one Sunday. I said, you come. I want you to speak to the people. But I would love to say something as a 60-year-old to a lot of people here. When he came to himself, I've often asked Brother Mike this and many of the older people in our church. I wish our young people would take our experiences in life and apply them. But I do realize this, I'm where I am this morning because I've learned some things. And I've not arrived, but I've learned a few things. All right, I feel like I'm losing you. I'll ease on. He came to himself and he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, I will arise. Now look, he knew where to go, didn't he? Can I tell you that's the greatest place in your life to run to? To the Father. Miss Amy, I want you to come be preparing a song.